Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
Praise God. I'm so glad to have you out in the house this morning. Those of you that, man, you set your clocks up and pressed on through. You know, some of us are, some are more, like I said, more morning people than others. Takes me a while to get moving, and I get up early usually and try to get moving, but it takes me a while to get there. Anybody else like me? Takes a minute or two. But thank God for the ability to be able to celebrate Him together today. I never ever take it for granted, and I hope you don't either, because it is a blessing. Amen? Well, I'm going to bring the Word to you today, and before I do, how many of you like to go out and eat? Okay. That's most of us, huh? Some of you didn't lift your hand, and I know you do. I won't tell you how I know. Same way you know how I do. But, you know, sometimes the best part of the meal can be the appetizer. So we'll see. But I do have a word to share with you before we get into the notes, although I feel like I've got a strong word from the Lord this morning. I want to share something with you. How many of you in the house today would say, I have loved ones in heaven? You got people that you love and they're dear. See, look at the hands. Well, I hope this will bring some revelation and comfort to your heart and to your life for, you know, this season. We've had about 4 funerals in the last 2 weeks. And, you know, people walk through hard times in life. But I got a revelation understanding of John chapter 13. Guys, I don't know if y'all can just find this real quick in the King James or New King James, either one, it doesn't matter. Just a couple of things I want to point out to you about this. And I pray it'll bring a lot of comfort to you. John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Isn't that awesome? Jesus never, ever stopped walking in love to those he was called. Even when they didn't understand everything he said, even when some of them walked away from him, even when they left him, and people, you know, people can be so fickle. It says he loved them to the end. Verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Watch this. This is so powerful. Verse 3. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands," watch this, "and that he had come from God and was going to God." Your loved ones didn't just go to a place. They went to a person. When I travel overseas or I'm gone for a long time, you know, look, I tell you, and it's great. I love my city. I get excited about getting back to Mobile. But that's not the ultimate drawing card for me when I get back. The ultimate drawing card for me when I come back is her, my family, you, all of you. I am coming back. Most importantly, the thing that is paramount in my heart are the people. Heaven is not just a city. It's a dwelling place for our Lord and our Savior. And here's the thing that should bring comfort to your heart for. Jesus has taken care of your loved ones. He had come from the Father, and this is what he knew. I'm going back to the Father. And so what, listen, get this. While we thank God for streets of gold, gates of pearl, and all of those things, that is not the main attraction. The main attraction is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the lover of our soul, the healer of our bodies, the Prince of Peace, the Morning Star, our Lord, our Savior, the one who carries our griefs and our sorrows. And welcome. Stephen said, "I see heaven opened. And the Son of Man, Jesus, standing at the Father's right hand." So not only is heaven a real place, but there is a welcoming, and it is called Jesus, the Son of God, going back to our Father, back to that place that we have been called to, and called to from our mother's womb, ordained by God to know Him and spend eternity with Him. Would you give God praise for Jesus and for the promise of His Word? Hallelujah. That's a good appetizer right there. But today I want to minister to you on, and this is, titles don't always, I envy some of these preachers that they have these little, really cute, concise, that's just not me most of the time. So I thought, what I want to say today, here's what I want to say: throw aside your garment, take up your mat, and get your wings.
Amen.
Throw aside your garment, take up your mat, and get your wings. One thing I've discovered as I get a little older, as I get a few years on me, is I just more and more just going to be me. More and more just want to be myself. Don't have to imitate anybody else, be like anybody else, say it like anybody else says it. I'm going to be me. Amen? Let me review where we've been. We've been in the book of Ruth kind of as a basis, but we've jumped around. And, of course, it's the days when the judges ruled. There was famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, took his family. They left the country of Moab. He and his wife and two sons, and we said, stay in Judah. When times get hard, one of the most important things we can do is to praise Him in advance. And sometimes we rejoice not because of how it is, but because of how we know and believe that it can be. Nehemiah 8:10 says this: the joy of the Lord is our strength. So you say, you might come in, and maybe you're visiting today. Maybe you can come in and say, well, is it really necessary to act like that? Well, here's what I've discovered. It's going to be real hard to have joy out there if I can't even get it in here. That's my strength. And there'll be times during the week, I promise you, this week, there'll be times when I will have this rise up in me. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. It's here that that joy is birthed. As where two or three shall gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love, and He will joy over you with singing. That word for joy there, listen to this. A primitive root means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. I didn't make this up. That's the word in the Hebrew. That's what God is doing. He says, I'm spinning around violently over you, rejoicing over my people. And I love it when we're able to welcome Him into the service. To be joyful, it means to be glad, to have joy, to be joyful, to rejoice. So, if you need supernatural strength, this is what we've been saying over the last few weeks. Stay in Bethlehem. The words for Bethlehem are bread or word. And stay in Judah, which is praise. So, you know what? As on any Sunday when you're in this house, there might be a time when you just might want to just stand on your feet for a second and just give God praise in advance for some things that you're believing God for as it comes alive in your heart. Amen? More than anything, we said two weeks ago, the enemy wants a throne. Satan desires a place of worship, a throne. And a throne is a place of focus. It's the center of attention. When you walk in the room, all the eyes are drawn there. I mentioned a few weeks ago, we like those British timepieces. But it's amazing to me. I look at some of that and I'm like, I don't get the culture. Now, let me tell you what I mean. The queen, she's there. And there's a certain protocol. I would just get thrown out of the palace. Because, I mean, when you come to you address the queen and you have to kiss her hand and you have to kneel down. And then when you go out of the room, you never turn your back. I'd get kicked out before I got through the door. But the point I'm trying to make is this. That's the place of focus. That's where all the eyes are drawn. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to focus our attention on Him and His agenda for our lives. Isaiah 14 says this: how art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? You're cut down to the ground, you that did weaken the nations. You have said in your heart, watch this, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne. above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend to the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. So the enemy desires a place to ascend to in our lives, a place to reign over. And here's what I've discovered. Two of the primary focuses of his throne that he has in our lives that he likes to use against us are fear and intimidation. To torment. Fear is his throne of choice to torment and harass us and to keep us in bondage. Fear is a form of intimidation. So, let's make a declaration this morning. Say, God has not given me, the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Because here's what I've discovered. Fear has torment. When you're living under the spirit of fear and bondage, it will bring you torment. But let's look now as we look at this, as we talk about throw aside your garment, take up your mat, and get your wings. Mark 10. Jesus comes to Jericho with his disciples, his followers. The crowd's with him. But he comes to Jericho and then he leaves Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, what's this? He began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David. Oh, there's certain aspects of this I wish you had underlined in your Bible because it's so powerful. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. Oh, you ought to underline this. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, oh, and this is so important, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. This is a man who needed his condition changed. And we know him as blind Bartimaeus. And it's amazing to me as you look at Scripture and you see how writers describe things, how many times we describe people by their weakness. It's a tendency. Oh, you know, you're trying to describe somebody and you tell them, well, I tell you, it's the person they walk with the limp, or it's this person that does this, or it's a person that does that. He was known by his infirmity. But here's the thing. Blind Bartimaeus didn't have a lot going for him, but he did have a couple of things that he could use. First of all, he couldn't see, but he could hear, and he did have a voice. He's blind. He's begging by the road. And instead of complaining about what did not work, he used what did work, his voice. And listen, this is something I want to insert here that I think is so important. Yes, he had dysfunction in his life. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I know this is a charismatic church and everybody in here is perfect. And nobody got no dysfunction in their life. Everybody, you got no relationship trouble. You got nothing going on. But for those that are online that are watching, just kidding. Bartimaeus refused to make peace with his dysfunction. Until your need pushes you to need Jesus, you're going to stay locked up where you are. So there can be a good thing about need. When it gets you to realize, I've got to do something about this. So here is my word to you. Bring your dysfunction to Jesus. Believer, Christian, those of us who have issues in our life. Now, I know none of you got issues. But for those of us that do, it is important that we bring our issues to the Lord. Bring your dysfunction to the Lord. Don't just try to figure out a way to continue to live with something that God wants you delivered from. That's what I'm saying this morning. In whatever area that is. Now, the crowd is saying, look, just be quiet. Sit down. Shut up. But here it is. Jesus, when he hears him, he stops and he stands still. He hears this man cry out. So if you want to see transformation, don't allow people who can't change your predicament to dictate your behavior. Relationships matter. God in his nature is a community of three persons united as one, existing in loving relationships through all of eternity. And the quality of your life is going to be determined by who you choose to listen to and not listen to. Amen. Sit down and shut up, Bartimaeus. Be quiet. Stay like you are. Stay in bondage. You've been living this way a long time. I'm going to tell you what. Susan and I were talking about this week, and it's so powerful. She looked at me and she said, I'll tell you this. If you are in a situation and there's something going on in your life and you want to be free from it and you let him know, I want to be free out of this. I don't want to live like this. I want you to deal with this area in my life. I want you to bring instruction to this area in my life. Jesus, I am asking you right now, whether it's dysfunction or anything else that's going on. Folks, let me tell you something. If you'll do that, he will show up. And watch this. He will stop. And there's a crowd there. But Bartimaeus got the ministry. Bartimaeus got what needed to happen in his life. So you got to get yourself in the right crowd sometimes. Yesterday, guys, if y'all get that picture ready that I sent you in just a minute. How many of you know that everybody in this church knows that we have to deal with things, we have to deal with situations in our lives, families have to deal with things, and we've got a beautiful family in this church that many of you know, Janet and Jamie. We've got two precious boys, and when Gabe was born, they said, Gabe, you know, he's not going to walk and he's not going to do a lot of things, and some of you have been keeping up with Gabe, and you know, we've seen some miracles. We watched him a couple years ago, I guess it was. Help me with the timeline, somebody. Walk across the stage here. I see Janet back there. Well, yesterday, I'm just telling you, in the midst of all that's going on, there are victory reports. And we don't need to lose sight of that, because it's important to stay in the right crowd. If Bartimaeus had listened to the crowd initially, he would have never got his freedom. Stay in the right church. Stay in the right crowd. Stay in the right circle. And so, yesterday, I had a funeral midday, but yesterday morning I got to go be with grandson Henry at his birthday party. And while I was there, guys, put that picture up anytime. Little Gabe was there. How about that? And let me tell you where this is at. This is at the jump park right over here. For some of you that have kids or grandkids, you're familiar with it. But here's what I was just so blessed and so excited. And is that not awesome? Oh, man, Gabe is such a loving, precious gift. And so yesterday, not only was Gabe walking, he got out on those trampolines. I saw him out there with Bo. I saw him out there with Janet. And he was jumping. And Janet said, watch him walk. And those trampolines, those things are hard to walk on. I mean, when I'm trying to rescue my grandkids, I'm out there and I'm like, because they're listen, he was walking and running and jumping on those trampolines yesterday. So I want you to give God praise. Come on, church, give God praise in this house one time. Yeah! Hallelujah! And I believe we're going to hear him speak and talk, Janet. Now, here's the thing, and I don't want you to misunderstand. Doctors deal with what they have to deal with. They can give you the diagnosis in the natural. He was not supposed to ever do this. And if Janet and Jamie had settled for that, that's where they would be. But you know what? Here's what happened. They got around. First of all, they got a word from God. Now, they had to walk this out on a daily basis. Never forget that. I have so much admiration for them, respect for them, for what they have walked through. They had to walk this out on a daily basis. But they also had, and I know they'd say this too, they had a circle and a crowd of people around them that lifted up their hands. Not a bunch of people who were Job's comforters. Not a bunch of people who were told, Bartimaeus, sit down and shut up and stay the way you are. But some people who would rise up and say, listen, we're going to stand in faith with you and we're going to believe that all things are possible. And Jesus has heard your cry and he's going to stop by the Rivera household and he's going to minister to your child. Can I get an amen in this house? Ah, come on, you got to do better than that. Now, we'll go back to Bartimaeus in a minute, but look at John chapter 5, and I want to draw some parallels here. The Bible says in John 5 that there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. How many have been to Israel and been to this place? It's a really interesting place. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water, then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, watch this, do you want to be made well? Again, Jesus looks at them and says, what do you want? If you're an addict, if you've got sin ruling and reigning in your life, if you are living a double life and you can't defeat it, the starting place has got to be, what do you want?
That's right.
Now, I mean, just deal with some stuff right now. Because here's what we run into. When you have a whole bunch of people gathered around somebody who wants their freedom worse than they do. Both of these, Jesus looked at them and said, what do you want? You know, if you're a man in this house and you've got a family and you're not taking care of your family and you're doing all these things and you're giving in to all this stuff, listen, don't avoid the book of Job because you think it's Job. Listen, I'm not saying I don't have compassion. Here's what I'm saying. Get real with yourself. Realize that there is freedom, that there is grace, but I want to know, what do you want? If you want to keep living that way, you can keep living that way. But if you don't, I got news for you. Jesus will stop by the side of the road, and he'll take you by the hand, and he'll heal your blindness. He'll heal your lameness. He will set you free from your dysfunction, whatever it is. That's the God that he is. But he wants to know, what do you want to do with your life? What you want matters. Say that's good preaching, Brother Scott. Oh, Lord, where was I? Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, this is awesome, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now there was a great crowd there. But just because there's a great crowd doesn't mean there's help. You don't need a great crowd, you need the right crowd. Because a lot of people are looking for the biggest crowd. Well, that's not necessarily the ones that are going to get you the freedom that you need. That's not going to be the ones necessarily that are going to take you where you need to go. There was a great crowd there, but no help. Crowd doesn't mean they care. And if you, this man had spent 38 years of his life around people who had no desire to help him get better. When you are experiencing that, you're in the wrong crowd. So stay in relationship. Watch this, church. With people who want to see you whole. Who want to see you well. Who want to see you strong. Who want to see you blessed. And who want to see you successful. Stay around people who want the absolute best for you in every area of your life. And some people are only going to celebrate you up to their level of achievement. But I want you to know, in this house, we're going to believe for the supernatural overcomers and for the greatest blessings of God that you could ever experience to come into your house, to come into your family. Whatever it is that you need, I want you to know we're standing with you in this house to be blessed, to be successful, and to celebrate with you when God blesses your life. Because some people are only going to receive you as long as you're in bondage. Boy, I could stop there, but I won't. What do you mean? Well, what cost Pharaoh his life and his future was his inability to see the Hebrews as sons and not slaves. He looked at Israel and he only saw them as slaves. He didn't see who they could be. And therefore, the same water that set them free drowned Pharaoh. You're going to experience in life that sometimes if people can't grow with you, they can't go with you. Sometimes elevation means separation. But the problem is not really your elevation, it's their stagnation. I'm giving you some stuff to chew on. So here's the thing. Love everybody, but don't let others hold you down in life when God came to lift you up. And listen, by that I'm not saying walking around with a haughty, stinking attitude. That's a whole different level right there. And let me go back and say this too. This guy was 38 years. And really 38 years with the wrong crowd. Just because something's been a part of your life and your family for 38 years doesn't necessarily mean you need to stay attached to it. If it's the wrong thing. Oh, I'm fixing to get it. Your way of thinking, your way of voting, your way of looking at the world, all of this stuff. Just because mom and daddy did it that way don't mean you're supposed to do it that way. Think for yourself. And let me tell you something, baby. Listen, everybody in this church knows who I am and what I stand for. This is my guide. This is my voter guide. This is what I go by. And I'll never compromise it. And listen, my family back in the mountains, I was raised a certain way, and they voted for this party. And listen, and I had to think for myself. I had to get off of that stuff and start thinking for myself, read my Bible, pray, ask God to speak to my heart and show me what to do, and be willing to step out of the crowd, away from everybody in this cows thinking. Have you ever seen, how many farmers? Any farmers in here? Or been around any? One cow can take off and have, like, something's wrong, and next thing you know, the whole herd, here they go. Here's what I'm trying to say. Stay out of the herd mentality. And it doesn't matter to me if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever it is, This is our voter guide. This is what we go by. This is what I live by. My allegiance is to this book, first and foremost, and to the kingdom of God. And I won't apologize for it. Doesn't mean I don't love everybody, but I'm just telling you, this is my book. This is what I go by. My allegiance is not to my generations who were behind me.
Amen.
While I love and respect them and thank God for what they did to make my life possible, my allegiance is to my King, to my Lord, and to my God. You know, I was raised, and I noticed something in this, and boy, I'm just getting out there today, aren't I? I noticed something in this story. You know, Jesus stopped. He stopped. He stopped for Bartimaeus. He stopped for the crippled man. He stopped for them. He stopped. And I got to thinking about growing up back there in the hills. Coal miners. Living in that. And boy, we were tiny house living back before there was such a thing as tiny house living. My mother and I lived in an apartment, 500 square feet, maybe. Maybe. But I mean, you know what, Drew, I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't think a thing in the world about it because, I mean, it was what it was. I had a place to sleep. I had a place to live. I had a place to, you know, I had a place to do what I needed to do. So, I was just thinking the other day, there was a, and listen, when you're 10, 11, 12 years old, there's a whole different mindset about how you view things. So living in this little apartment, there was a junkyard behind it. And here's the thing. This was awesome. I could walk out my door, through my little backyard, and walk to the, and go into that junkyard because there was an old fence there, but it was broken down. So I would go into that junkyard, and I'll never will forget, there was a 57 Edsel. How many? Some of y'all don't even know what a 57 Edsel is. How many of you, I know there's some people in here who can remember an Edsel. It wasn't made very long. It was a Ford. And Ford made it named it after his son, Edsel Ford. And it had gear punches, buttons, push buttons. Well, that old Edsel was in there, and that wasn't, but they were not good cars. Hence, it was in the junkyard already, even at that age. Well, in that junkyard, they had a little bitty hill. And so me and a buddy decided, I bet if we push that Edsel a little bit, we could roll this Edsel down this hill. Well, sure enough, I got in there and I pushed that end button for neutral. Some of y'all wake up this morning. I pushed that button. And my buddy and me got it, and I got to be the driver. We pushed it. I jumped in on the driver's side, and he jumped in on the passenger side. And, man, we were driving. The first time in our lives, we were driving that Edsel down that hill. Well, there was an old – I don't know how I got into this. Lord mercy. There was an older man. I had the name for him. But he was a mean old fella who lived on the other side of the junkyard. And – anytime we would try to play basketball, coach, or do anything out there, we had an old goal that we had nailed up on a pole. And if the ball, basketball, went over into the yard, he would come running out of his house and take it. I just say, he's a mean old coot. That's what he was. And so anyway, he saw us out there, and he called the police. I don't know if I should be telling this story to all these young people. It's too late now, baby. I am out. I'm out in the deep weeds. Yeah, I know. That's like, oh, I've told my grandson some things their daddy did. Daddy's done, grandkids. Anyway, so we're rolling down and we get to the bottom. Man, it's like, this is awesome. I mean, it probably wasn't more than 50 feet. But boy, it was like, well, the next thing you know, I look and there's the police car at the end of the. And I was scared to death. We hopped out of that car and they said, hey, boys. We took off running, and all I remember is as we climbed through that barbed wire fence, those policemen were laughing so hard. They were going, ha, 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 look at them boys run. Lived in that lived there. It was a kid's dream. Had a brickyard right next to where I lived. I'm just telling you the way we grew up. We used to buy TNT and cherry bombs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? TNTs were even more powerful than cherry bombs. We'd go over in the brickyard at night, and there'd be some of them loose bricks. I'm talking about a brickyard where they made the bricks in these big kilns. I can still remember seeing that fire come out, but I'd crawl around those bricks, and you'd find some loose ones. You'd put those TNTs in there, and boom. Life was good for a 10, 11, 12-year-old. Hey, we didn't have iPads and my pads and your pads and them pads. We had to find an Edsel somewhere. We had to find some bricks that needed to be blown up. We had to find something to do outside. We had to play hide and go seek at night, come flying through grandma's yard and get hung on the clothesline. That's what I'm talking about. Some of y'all remember times like this. I'm telling that story to tell this. One day, you know, Jesus stopped for them. And then we'll forget one night my mama said, there's a lady from a church going to stop by and pick you up tonight. Her name was Kathy Allen. Her husband's a pastor of the First Baptist. And she's going to stop by here and pick you up out in front of the apartment. Be out there at a certain time. So I did. I walked out. Stood on the side of the road there in front of that convenience store. And in a minute, car pulled up. It was Kathy. And met her for the first time. Got in the car. And she started taking me to church. Introduced me to her family. Introduced me to her husband. Her son became my best friend. Their family became my family. All because, watch this. Just like Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. Just like Jesus stopped for this crippled man. Just like Jesus stopped for so many people in the Word. Jesus in the form of Kathy Allen stopped for me. What was I? Who was I? A little 10, 11-year-old boy? But somebody saw something. Jesus saw something in Bartimaeus. Watch this, that the crowd didn't see. And I got news for you. You ought to get you about this. If you don't shout on this, Jesus stopped for you because he saw something in you that the crowd didn't see. He saw, I'm telling you, Alicia Ann. He saw something in you when you were hurting and when you were suffering and when you were going through trauma that no person in this world should ever have to go through. But Jesus saw you. He heard your heart. He heard your cry. And even when it didn't seem like it, he heard your prayers. And he stopped on the side of the road and he got you by the arm. But not only that, he had a man who stopped and saw something, who stopped for you and took you by the arm. Jesus stopped for you, and that is shouting ground in this house today. Would you give God praise? Oh, I'm telling you what, do me one favor. For 5 seconds, if he stopped for you, would you stand up and give him praise in this house? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, remain standing one more second. Let me ask you this. How many of you can think of somebody, not just that Jesus stopped for you, but that somebody, not just when you needed to get born again, not just when you needed whatever you had happen in your life, but even now, even today, in what you walk through, in what you go through, that Jesus will have somebody who will stop for you again. Amen. How many of you can say, I've got people in my life? Thank God! for those, watch this, who will put on the brakes of life, who will put aside the distractions of life and hear the voice of the Lord when He tells us to stop. Stop by that wayside. All right, sit down. I'm not food preaching yet. Oh, my. This guy's been there 38 years now. You know, Jesus could have encouraged him to play the blame game. And there was plenty of blame to go around. Plenty of blame to go around. 38 years, nobody helping him. But he didn't. He could have encouraged him to get on social media. Get on Facebook and let the crowd have it. Ooh, it's quiet. I didn't go in the middle of that. Let me tell you something. That's not always a good place to vent. In fact, I'd avoid it. You can spend your life complaining, competing, and playing the blame game, pointing your fingers at who is to blame, or, watch this, you can get a word from God. This man got a word from God, and here it is. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your bed, pick up your mat, and walk. There may not be a lot of things that I can control in my life, but watch this. I can get a word from God. You can get a word from God. We can get a word from God. And Jesus tells him, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. And here's the great thing. He told him to take up that mat because he wasn't going to be needing it anymore. That's what happens when the dysfunction in our life gets broken. When it gets relieved, when it gets taken away. We don't need that place of dysfunction to carry us anymore. Back to Bartimaeus. Jesus stands still. Bartimaeus chooses the right identity. He chooses the right stand. He says, Jesus, Son of David. Could anybody release a sound like David could? He identifies with the praise, with the lineage of David. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Nobody could release a sound like David could. And here's what he did. Never let the noise of your limitations drown out the sound of possibilities. I'm going to say it again. Never allow the noise of limitations to drown out the sound of your possibilities. He heard a sound. Bartimaeus was saying, I can't see, but I can hear. I can speak. Watch this. I have a voice. And he released a sound that stood out from the crowd. And Jesus stood still. And in this, and this is what I want to show you, the parallel. Crippled man, he laid aside his mat. He laid aside his bed. Bartimaeus threw aside his garment. Well, what does that mean? Is that significant? Yes, it is. Listen to this. I researched this week. In the first century, licenses did not come in the form of paper certificates or letters. Proof of your begging license, what's this, was issued in the form of clothing. Specifically, a beggar was given a cloak of a certain style and color, which distinguished him or her from other professions. They were distinctive and identifiable, even as much as the high priest's linen garments and ephod. Proof of your begging license was issued in the form of clothing, a cloak of a certain style and color. So here's the thing. When God does something in our lives, it's almost never just one thing. One thing leads to another. This man not only got his sight, he got his freedom. I hope you're getting this. He didn't need that cloak anymore. He threw aside the begging garment. Hallelujah. Ain't going to be no more begging for Bartimaeus. I'm sorry, you got to steal a line. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, free at last. this man is not just healed, he is delivered and he is free, and his dysfunction, watch this, does not rule and reign in his life anymore. That's a great place to give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah! He cast aside his garment. He got his freedom. And listen, I'm not just interested in behavior modification. I want transformation. Jesus didn't come to just give me a modification. He came to give me a metamorphosis. Metamorphos. That's the Greek. And it means a complete change in form. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. That means a complete change in form, structure, and substance from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Modification can make you a better caterpillar. But metamorphosis will change you into a butterfly. Oh, church, come on, I hope you're getting this. What was the name of this message today? Throw aside your garment, take up your mat, and get your wings. Modification makes you a better caterpillar. Metamorphosis allows you to become a butterfly. Isaiah 68 says this, "Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows?" That word for windows there is portals. So my message to us today as I close it, if you'll stand with me right now, hop up on your feet. Thank you for staying energized on this early morning. But here is my word. It's time to get our wings. I said it's time to get our wings where we fly to the portals. I am tired of reading a butterfly Bible and living a caterpillar life. I want you to say with me this morning, dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
Come on, say it.
Dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
Does not.
And will not.
And will
not. Rule in my life.
Anywhere.
Jesus stopped by to see you. I got news for you. Jesus is here. Jesus showed up. He's already. How many believers in this house? Jesus has already showed up in your life. And here's what he wants to know. What do you want? What would you have me do? Who do you want to be? Are you going to listen to that crowd who tells you, sit down, live with your dysfunction, and just deal with it and keep going? Or are you going to be the one who says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me? And I got news for you. You don't have to live in the shadow of all that guilt and shame and failure and condemnation. You know, the devil, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. Because he'll do stuff to you and then condemn you because it happened. But I declare in Jesus' name, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is freedom in this house. There is freedom in your life. There is freedom in your future. I want to know if there are people in here today who would lift up their hands and say, I have been in a place in my life at times in the past that should have destroyed me, but Jesus stopped. Come on, somebody. And listen, here's the thing. Both of these men, he didn't need his mat anymore, and he didn't need that beggar's garment anymore. Watch this. Their lives were taken to another level. And I'm telling you, Tab, it is time for us as God's people. As we get a word from heaven in places where he would tell us, cast aside our garment. Rise, take up your bed and walk. That we begin to allow that word from heaven that he gives us to take us to another level. in our living, in our daily life, in the place that we are. He is a merciful, graceful, compassionate, loving, caring God who will be there for us and who will stop by our wayside when we say and respond to Him, "What is it that you want? What is it that you desire?" Would you bow with me? First, is anybody here today who would say, "I don't know if I know Jesus or not, but I'm ready for Him to stop by my house. I'm ready for Him to stop by my life. I am ready for Him to stop by and visit with me and spend time with me as I cry out in faith to Him, knowing He's going to take care of things." Anybody here who would say, "I don't know if I know Him or not"? Are we all born again? Everybody a believer? Are there any hands? All right, I believe that we are. I believe that we are. Thank you, Jesus. I've got that. And Father, we thank you and praise you now for the ministry of your Spirit and your Word that's working in hearts and lives. And Father, we thank you again today. God, I thank you for Michael, for blessing him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. But I want to tell you something, folks. Listen. We're in a warfare. Yep. Now, this message may not have been titled about warfare, but I'm just telling you, we're in warfare. It's extreme. We've been aware of it. We've been knowing what's going on. And we're going to be a people. We're going to be a people who rise up. I said we're going to be a people who rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the crowd says sit down, listen, and when the crowd says sit down and shut up, we're going to praise louder. We're going to come in this house. Listen to this. We're going to love each other. We're going to be the family of God. As long as I'm pastoring, as long as I'm here, as long as we are here, we are going to love each other. We're going to care for each other, and we're going to stand by each other. And when the battles are fought, we're going to fight together, and we're going to see each other come out victorious. And listen, we're going to rejoice with those that rejoice. That means when you get blessed and you become that multimillionaire, I'm going to dance around this altar with you. I'm going to grab you by the hand and say, "Thank God Almighty. Hallelujah. You are blessed. God doesn't have to cheat me to bless you. And God don't have to cheat you to bless me. I am believing for the absolute best for you in every area of your life." But there are times, listen, how many of you would be willing, and I know this is something that Susan and I, we try to stay aware of, and I know there's some of you, this house is so precious, this family is so precious, but how many of you would be willing to say, "Lord, I want to be one who's very sensitive to your voice, and when I hear you say, stop, I'll stop. When I hear you say, minister to them, or check on them, or do this or that for them, I want to be the one that'll do that." I've said this before, I'll say it again. I am believing God not just to be the one that's believing for money to come in. I want to be the one writing the checks. Now, that's real plain, but I don't know how to say it any other way. I want all of us to walk in that same anointing. We live in a time when there is so much going on in the world. So many opinions and so much stuff going on. And I'm telling you, I'm staying locked and loaded in the Word of God and in the presence of God. And I voted this past week. Absolutely, I did my civic duty. And I'm encouraging all of you, as we head to November, don't just sit on the sidelines. You need to get your righteous self up. Almost. You need to get your righteous self up and go vote. Okay? And vote by the Bible. There you go. That's all I got. That's what I'm doing. And so you know where I stand. We're going to love each other no matter what. But I'm going to tell you something. Get up and go vote. Amen. Especially in November. As we get, I think is there anything else that happens before November? Is there a primary or something? Runoff? There might be some runoff. So anyway, I'm not sure about what all is going on with that. But I'm just encouraging you. And listen, and here's what I'm saying to you. In the day and time and age in which we live, and I had not intended to address any of this, but it's in my heart. You know who I am. You know how I feel about you. And you know how strong I stand in our nation and in our country. And I believe it. I believe in our nation. I love it. I thank God for it. Yes, sir. But I'm going to tell you this, we're in a very strategic time. And we need to realize that not only is the church in warfare, but our nation is in spiritual warfare. And there is a struggle. There's a struggle right now going on. So, church, I don't vote. Oh, boy. Here I go. I'm just saying it. Y'all can walk out of here not loving me, but I promise you this way. I'm going to get back with you, and I'm going to love you no matter what. If you don't love me, that's on you. But I've never voted. I don't vote for a person. I vote on principles. I vote on policy. That's what I do. And I don't vote how my grandpa or my grandma voted. I don't do any of that. I don't vote on how my cousins vote. I don't have any, but I guess I've got some somewhere. But what I'm saying is I am strong adherent to the Scripture. And it affects every area of my life. And so we're headed toward November. But here's one of the main things we can do is we can pray. Everybody can pray, and everybody can get a word from God. You can hear from God. I can hear from God. And I know for some of you, you know, it can be hard. It can be difficult. But folks, let me tell you something. We can't just go with the crowd. We can't listen. And boy, I'm just telling you right now, there is a strong push in this country to tell the church to sit down and shut up. I'm not going to do it. The church is not going to sit down and shut up. Not right now. Hallelujah. I hope y'all still love me. Because I guarantee you one thing. Susan and I love y'all with all our hearts. And you guys are so precious to us, and you always will be. And this is a great house. So I want to encourage you today. Rise up. Take up your bed. Take up your dysfunction. And let's walk. Amen. And let's walk into the future with our eyes set on Jesus. And with an ear that is able to hear, when he says stop by the wayside and love somebody, we're going to take care of it. Amen? Amen? Don't bat a thousand. But I can promise you this, we're going to do our best to try to do what God has called us to do. Would you close out this service by giving God 5 seconds of praise in this house? Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Yes. All of a sudden, I'm remembering this verse, Bill. For I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
For it is the power of God. Watch this. Unto salvation. That word for salvation is deliverance, healing, prosperity, blessing. Everything that is in the gospel has been made available to us as born-again believers. Say, I receive it in Jesus' name. All right, hug somebody before you go, and Brother Scotty, quit preaching. We love you guys.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.